Thank you so much. Good morning. And it's true, I really enjoy the time that I spend with Brother Gary as we go and travel and do those things that are dangerous. We test our luck as we go and downhill, over rocks, and all those things. And it's just that, you know, you just go and don't think about it, and sometimes it can be really dangerous and harm. You can get hurt. But isn't it how those are the things in life. And because you don't know what's up ahead of you. You know, as we become followers of Christ, you know, He commands us that He will be, I mean, He's telling us, He promised us that He will be with us. And so words of comfort that you'll be okay. But, you know, as you become Christian, you know the change in your life. You know you feel and you see, and your eyes are open, and you know that just like the scripture said, you were sinning without even knowing. You were sinning in your ignorance, and those are the things that we don't see. But He promised to be with us on the way to His kingdom, to the time that it comes there for us to be with Him. That is a comfort to me, and I hope that it'll be to you also, that every time that we come to church, we are here to hear the word, to hear His word, and that we may have joy in it, that we may grow into it, even that sometimes as things of the world can get on the way and it can be something that might send you to a different path besides the one we want to be. But those are the things that we need to fight for every day. It's something that He told us, you know, I said, that I work as long as the light stands. But there's another one that works also. And so that's how He said, you know, that we have a war every day. We have a war against spirits that are up there. They're going to be tempting you. They're going to be tempting me. And perhaps when you feel the need of studying your scriptures is when you get weak. And I have heard some brothers that they have said, you know, this sermon is not just for me. It's not just for you, but it is for me also. Because I'm here too to learn, to hear, to understand. And so it's not me teaching you. I'm teaching myself also. And because one leader is nothing without his followers. I remember when God called Moses to lead his people, and his father-in-law told him, "You can't do this by yourself. You need help." And so that's how we are in these days. We need help. And by gathering together here today and anytime and every time that we have this gathering, it really supplies our need of the Spirit of God for being together, because we support each other. We pray for each other when somebody's in need, not physically, but spiritually. We heard about what happened last week. I wasn't here. And so it hurts when it happens to someone that is from our church, because we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when somebody gets hurt, you know, even if you don't see it, we all feel it. And so I pray that everything goes well and continue goes well with Sister Pat. But there's many out there that are standing in that need. And so I was reading the book of commandments, and it says, I think I've got it right here, but I'm just going to read this little chapter here. In chapter 5, on page 5, and it's going to be, I guess it's verse 5. And it says, I'm going to read from over here. It's fine. Say, behold, I am God, and I have spoken these commandments. And I know, and you know they are for me, and were given into my servant, and their weakness, and after the manner of the language, that they might come to understanding, and in so much as they err, it might be made known, and in so much as they sow wisdom, they might be instructed, and in so much as they sin, they might be chastened, and then they might be repentant, and as much as they were humble, that they might be made strong, and blessed from on high, and receive acknowledge from the time to time after they having received the record of the Nephites. Yea, even my servant Joseph may have power to translate to the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon. And also those to whose these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church, to bring it forth out of the obscurity and out of the darkness, that the only true and living church be upon this face of this whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking unto the church collectively and not individually. That is very important right there. That is, the church is for everyone, and our job is to speak and to teach those that is that we have the true gospel. And that is not, that God is not, he doesn't choose people. Everyone is welcome to his kingdom. Everyone is welcome to this church. That's what I understand. For I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repenteth and doth the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. And he that repenteth not from him shall be taken. Even the light which he had received from my spirit shall not always strive with men, says the Lord of hosts. And then as I continue reading there, it says, you know, we live in days that there's people that this world is in need of God. And our job, our responsibility is to bring it, is to teach it. And how are we going to teach it without even reading it? Because he says right here also, you need to learn the word first. You need to learn it before you teach it. You need to come to the acknowledge of my word before I call you. And that pleased me because we believe that our church and the Church of Christ, you are not taking on your own, become some minister. God calls you when he thinks and when he knows, when he sees that your heart is ready, when you're humble enough to be partaken of his word. And that pleased me so much that I know that when I say something, I say it with authority that God has given me. I have performed 2 weddings, and at the end, I say, by the power given to me by Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to say that, and it pleased me to say that, and with joy. And so that's who we are. We are the children of God, and together, we will support each other. Because we are one and one body. The other day, I was thinking about my childhood in Mexico. Oh, you are a troublemaker, probably in anywhere, but in Mexico, without shoes, climbing trees, going to the river, skipping school to go swimming at the river. And so I'm a river swimmer. I know how to jump on rocks. I can run to the river without falling. I can climb trees. I used to. Very high. And I always try to go as high as I can because we were kind of compete with my friends. We have we call it gusano, a worm for every tree. Every tree. I used to know every worm, and I will tell you, this is from this tree. Because we were always living on top of the trees, especially the fruit trees. We have a tree called guayaba. I don't know what's the name, guayaba, guava, or they have these nasty worms. They like, and they're pretty long, and they have all these spikes. They like really poison to you. That you touch them and you feel like you're burning. And so I'm just gonna tell you this story. One time I was under this tree, and I saw these guayabas up there, and I'm like, I was like maybe 10 years old or 8 years old, and I was not wearing a shirt because most kids don't wear shorts, especially over there. And I stand under this tree, and since I cannot reach the guayabas, I shake the tree, so the guayabas will fall. Okay, so the guayabas, therefore, the guayabas, I bend over to pick them up. And I can't remember how many gusanos they landed on my back. you will know that there is Jose, no shirt, no shoes, or dirty, full of mud, running away, screaming. But I don't think I let go of the guayabas. I just talking with me. And so I was reading the other day about the trees in California and the redwood trees. And it reminded me to that. And so I was thinking, I read the whole thing and I'm like, man, I think I can come up with something here. And I prayed about it. And it really, you learn a lot from the trees. And the scriptures do mention the trees, especially the tree of life. And what's going to happen at the end. So as long as my computer here stands, because I don't have an internet and I don't know the password here, we'll go on. And so these redwood trees that are by the coast of California, which I never been, but since I kind of read about it, I'm interested to go and to see them for myself, because it says that people from pretty much all over the world do go over there to see the trees. Some of you maybe been there. And there's this famous tree that has like a huge opening right in the middle that a car can fit right through it. And I see a lot of pictures of that. And so I'd like to go see that. I mean, it's here. And once we are able, as we allow to travel, I would like to go and see this beauty, this natural, this creation, the God made for us to enjoy. And so I was reading this article, and it says, this is an article from, I tried to find the name of the person who wrote it, but I can't find it. And so I just copied the article, and from there, God give me all these thoughts, because it's just like you can learn from everything that He created, because He created for us to enjoy it, and at the same time, it's like He was making a point for us to learn. When I was a kid, liked to climb trees, and I wanted to see just how high I could go, and I love to push my luck as I go dangerously higher. This is guys talking, and higher than the days before. And I was all about how high we can go and climb about it. As an adult, it's a different story. You can't do that. And often find myself thinking more about this tree's roots and less about how high the branches extend. So he's talking about the, you know, in his youngest day, he was able to climb these trees, but as an adult, he got more interested in what is a tree for. And especially this red one, redwood trees, he can see that the roots are like all over the ground. Then they're not any like any roots than the trees that are normal trees that go deeper. But these trees, I mean, these roots are really shallow. And says, and I realize I become to realize that these the roots do matter. They not only provide a tree with the nutrients and needs to survive, but also with the stability to withstand a storm. Strong winds may come, but trees with deep roots will survive the storm. And it made me think about it as a group, as a church, and as an individual. They alone, we cannot do. We will fall. But if we stand together, we will be strong. Just like it says right there. And then when the storm comes, we'll support each other. And so it made me think about it, about a lot of scriptures in the Bible. It is so true. They are together as a church, as a group, will remain because it's like we feed each other. When we are like for Sunday school or for gatherings, cider press that we usually have, and all those things, it's just like together we are one, and nothing can knock us out down because we will be stronger. And so in Proverbs 12:25, it says that heaviness in the heart of men, Proverbs 12:25, makes it stop, but a good word makes it glad. And that's what it makes us grow, the good word, the word of God. That's what we hear to hear it and to they will give us a strength to continue on in this world, especially in the last days. In Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is such as a wrong lion, walking about seeking who he may devour." These scriptures came to me and reminded me that we are like a forest. We are like a forest. We will stand strong. You know, a lot of the people that have leave the church or they have, for whatever reason it is, that we should, that we need to pray for them. The God may touch their hearts to come back. But I feel sorry for them because they're up there alone in the world. And brother Jared, remember this, remind me this morning where he said that, you know, once you kind of walking up there, it's lonely. These things that are in the world where they start to come into you and you start to lose interest in to come to hear the word. Instead, you plan to spend more time up there. Knowing, and you might think that you might be in control, you can handle this, but it's not how it is. It's not how it is. It's that's how the devil works. He will slowly warn you. Yes, it's that, like the Book of Mormon says. It will slowly warn you with these little threats that you think you can break, but then will turn into chains. Ephesians 4:1-6. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one to another, and love, endeavoring to keep thy unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. And this is very important right here, where it says the unity of the Spirit. That's what we need to do, to lift us, to lift each other up in the Spirit. Otherwise, our spirit will go, it's like a flame. It will shut off if you don't feed it. It's just the way, the simple way to put it. If the fire goes down, you have to draw more wood so it goes up again. It's just the same way. If we go away and we are away from the church and away from God and away from our church members, our spirit will quench. It will go down. So those are the things that I always keep in my mind when I'm not here. We all have a little bit of time to go on vacations, to go up there and enjoy the beauty of those creations that God create. Like, a lot of people like to go to the woods. A lot of people like to go swimming to rivers and all those things. People like to go on cruises. It's needed for your mind to be a little clear, but just don't get too focused on the world and those things that he offers, because those are the things that he, that God is telling us to watch out for. Ephesians 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is the thing that we have. When you walk into the waters of baptism, this is the hope that we have, the salvation. That is the gift. That is the special gift that we seek. I think that a few brothers in Honduras got baptized last week, and it was so beautiful. I mean, this guy was Joseph. He can contend. He was so happy when I was baptized. I feel the same way. And there's no way for you to explain the happiness, the joy when you accept Christ in your heart. But you know what it's like, and you just want to share it with others. And I pray for these two guys in Honduras that God will clear up the stones and obstacles on the way, because it's a long way, and we all know it. It's a long way, and we can fall. We can fall. You know, when I was in Mexico with Brother Jay, I always had the comfort, and I was never nervous. Every time we got together, that we meet together with someone, because I didn't know what to say, how to start, or whatever, but I know I had this insurance that Brother Jay was going to take care of that service, because I know he has something in mind. And that's how I want to feel, my son. I said, that's how we should feel. To have that insurance that, you know, he says, you're not speaking. It's my spirit. I will put my words in your mouth when you speak. Don't be afraid, because you're not the one who's speaking. It's me. And it always brings me peace in my mind every time I think about those things. The redwoods. They can grow up to 300 feet. That's pretty amazing. These trees often grow to well over 300 feet, and many can be found standing strong at 20 feet or more diameter. People travel to the globe just to see these redwoods with their own eyes. These trees towers of overall over trees and their height alone should make them susceptible to damage. together, they support each other. They are against danger. I don't know how they deal with these fires these days. The California was having a lot of fires, but hopefully nothing went wrong with them. A redwood should be an easy target in a heavy storm or tornado. Lightning, when lightning is present also. But these trees are very resilient. By looking at a redwood, one could easily assume that the roots go to the center of the earth to supply all the nutrients and stability that such massive living structure will need to survive. But that's not the case. The redwoods have unique root system that typically goes 6 to 12 feet down deep. How is possible that these trees are not falling over? So that's a really good question right there. How is it that they're not falling over if the roots are really shallow? You know, the redwoods are standing because their shallow roots intertwine with other roots. So they're like winding each other. They are literally holding each other up. The trees grow closely, approximately one to each other, so they can share the nutrients and physically support each other. Beneath the surface, the roots look like a massive system, as they were saying, we are in this together, we are one. If you want to knock one of us down, you have to knock us all down. And that brings me to the thought again, that when one of us suffer, whatever is going through, we all suffer. But if we stay together, we stand together, nothing can hurt us, because I pray for you and you pray for me. And that's how the word of God works. Just like these trees, they support each other. And that's how we sure support each other also. This is how I see Isaiah. And Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He that sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up the prison to those that are bound. This is Christ speaking right here, but it's in prophet Isaiah. And there was a prophecy that it was come true. Christ came and died and suffered on the cross for all of us, for the whole world. That all we had to do is to follow him, accept him, obey his commandments, and all these things that include for us to be in the plan of salvation. All these things that you need to do, he said he came to loosen us from prison where you thought you were free. Probably the ones even in prison are free more than we are, because they have accepted Christ even in prison. And that's one of the things that, you know, that Christ says, you know, the true Christian should go to hospitals, to prisons, to the sick one, to support the widow, to do all those things. Treasure your treasures, you know, save your treasures in heaven where no thief will steal them. That's how you build all those treasures. Not in heaven, not on earth, but in heaven. And by doing those things, God, you please God. You please God. You know, you remember But anyway, we move on. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. It's just one. So now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In the same mind and the same judgment. And we should not have any divisions. We all know that we're going through hard times, and because this epidemic, a lot of crazy things are happening. Nothing is normal. Nothing. And then it doesn't sound bad, but I see that we are a little less in our church, and do feel a little sad sometimes. But you know, God will be in charge of this, and I'm like, yeah, I see my church decrease a little bit, and I was telling my wife, what can we do? What can we do? How can we increase the number? What should we do? What kind of events, or should we put a sign up there inviting the community? Should I preach in Spanish? Our church may fill up again, and I know that these thoughts are up there, and not just in my head, but maybe in all of you. But that's how it is. We have no control over what's in the future. Our local, our people, our young people, they're going to find their own paths. They might move away, hopefully somewhere where there's a local near. But those things, they're going to happen. People, they're going to come. People, they're going to go. And it's nothing you can do. It's nothing I can do. We cannot make decisions for them. And that's how it is. That's how it is. And what should we do? We should bless them. We should pray for them that everything will go fine in their decisions, that the God will open the way for them wherever they go. If I don't need to move, as far as I know, I don't need to move. I like the 80s and the 120s. But I don't have any of those plans in my head. So I asked that, you know, we need to show love and not feel, make them feel in a way that we're not happy. But we are happy for you, for all of those. They have come with a decision. Because, like I said, it's not up to me. It's up to them. And I know God is in control of that. 1 John 4:7. 4:7-11. And it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not know not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because the God sent his only begotten Son. That's the way that you should know as Christian, as believer. You have reached Christian. You should know that God is love, and by sending his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, it's because he loves you so much. You're so valuable. The other day, you are so valuable, more than a spirit. Than a sparrow, I should say. We are his children. Don't forget that. He loves us so much, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love others. We are also to love all of you. Those who surrender, those who are living, those who have left the church, we need to show them that we still love them, and that God loves them, and that God wants them to come back. But we don't know, even as far as they are with us. They are with God, perhaps. They're not here presently, physically, but they are watching over the live streaming. And I'm thankful for that also. It become really useful in these days. We can learn a lot for these redwood trees. Have you been there, Brother Adam, since you love trees? I One day I will go and we'll get in that discussion. I'm a landscaper and I cut trees and this and that, but Brother Adam has a lovely tree. He told me not to touch those trees because those are his, and I don't want to mess up. So when we have work parties, I just let him deal with them, and I focus over here. But we can learn a lot from these trees. The being connected somehow, it really does matter. Some leaders feel the same feeling or the pressure to lead, but when they separate, they don't do so good. We have leaders, but we have one special leader, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. Let's not forget that. He is the head of the church. He is a leader. But those who separate and you think that you will do good, maybe not having the need to be here, it will not work. You will be weak. But if we are together, we'll stand strong. In Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If he is and he is the savior of the body, he is the head of the church, and we become like a branches. He says he's the vine, right? He's the true vine, and we are like the branches, and we are separate from the branch from the vine, we will die. We will die. We cannot be separated from the vine, from the church, from our leaders. We have to hear and listen and have compassion against those who stand behind the pulpit. Because I tell you what, we sweat with bullets here. I feel like passing out. And why? I don't know. My brother told me, why are you always nervous? It's because I'm preaching to you, but I'm also, God is aware of that. I don't want to let God down. I don't want to let him down. And so, I might not be the best out there, but my heart is full of joy, and is full committed to Christ Jesus. I was born somewhere where I was not near the Church of Christ. I was I don't consider myself outsider anymore. It's been 15, 16 years that I've been a member of the Church of Christ. So I consider myself one of the family. I consider myself a part of you. And I consider yourselves part of me. So when I hear something's going on, like these cars coming to do their things outside, in my mind and my humanness, I think vengeance. Who are these people? Why are they doing it? I wish I can see them. Or I wish I'd be here. Because anger is trying to get a hold of my heart. And is that a Mexican thing? I need to work on that. Because what it says, you need to pray for them. As much as damage they make outside, and we work so hard to have what we have for someone who we don't know who they are. They come here and just make a mess of something that it cost us a lot, labor, sweat, money, and you get all mad. But we should pray for them. We should be considered them as how our Father forgave us of our sins. We should also forget them. But it is hard for us to come up with that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, the all things he might have in his in the premises. He is the supremacy. He will judge. He's in control. He knows who is those people, and he knows what are we doing about it. He will take care of that. He's in control. He hasn't leave us alone. And those are the things that we need to keep in mind. That without him, we are nothing. But with him, we will succeed. We learn that as we come to be part of these services. In a humble way, I ask you, thank you for being here and to hear me. In John 17:22, it says, "And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." We are connected through Christ Jesus. We become one, as he said. Because the body can be many members, but we all need each other. Without one of you, our church will stumble. And so Christ says, and Paul says, as the body has many members, if one of them is missing something, we will not function the right way. We will not function the same way we used to. So in Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone member one of another. And I'm going to finish here with the 1 Corinthians. Paul was talking about, for as the body is one and had many members, and other members at the one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, and in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. We have become part of this body, for the body is not one member, but many. 1 Corinthians 12:14. So these truths that bring me to this really good understanding that as church, we need to support each other. By standing all together, we will become so strong. And then when the storms come, we know that Christ is in control. All we need to do is just to keep those people up. Christ will pour out his blessings upon them, because the joy that we have, the joy is that we have God in our hearts. So don't forget that the roots matter in these trees, only to the trees, but also to the soil. Roots directly impact the overhead and the ground, which impacts, shows the other living things. Their roots not just feed themselves, but they impact other things around them to survive. The roots of the leader, the things that they are value, impact the followers, and the roots of the team impact those outside of the team. Your roots have the ability to influence others to do the same where others are also trying to grow. Our work is to show those good fruits, just like these trees are helping others to grow. Our responsibility is that you examples, show you good examples for others to see you, that they may come to the same understanding, to the same joy that you have with you, just like it says right here. In John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we continue on all the way to 17. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that reminds me a little about the seed. When we have all these fires, new trees comes up, new vegetation, the seed has to die. The tree has to die for others to grow, just like Christ there. And in many examples, he put it, the Son of Man has to die for others to survive, for others to live. It has to be done. And by him dying, many of us live, because by him dying, he sacrificed himself for you, that you may live if you decide to follow him. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servants knowing not what the Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and then your fruit shall remain. That whosoever you should ask of the Father in my name, you should ask my Father my name, he may give it to you. We have to show this good fruits. And if you see someone who is needed, provide information, talk to him. We have the opportunity outside of these walls, at work, in school, or just a friend. We have a lot of young people that are growing up. They have to understand that God wants them to prepare, to be prepared, to learn his word. Because this has to continue on into the day come that he showed himself in his glory. So a lot of these young people, these young guys, God has a purpose for you. And you had to be ready for that. As I was ready, when he called me, I wasn't so sure. I wasn't so sure if I was ready. But only he knows your heart. He will know when is the right time to call you. And this, the moral of the story. Plant yourself next to good people and find ways to purposefully connect with them. When you do so, you will find that you can survive the most difficult trials by relying and on providing for those around you. Everyone needs benefits from the healthy roots and the systems. Your roots do matter. Your examples, they matter. Your fruits you show to other people do matter. So never think that you're not doing your job, even if you're not here. Because everything you do, it's like God is watching you through someone else's eyes. You know, when you mess up and this guy or this person saw you, you feel bad because you just did something bad. And it's just like God is watching you. And it makes me think about this personage that were surrounding the throne in the Revelation, John, who had eyes everywhere. I just still don't understand what does that mean, but he has eyes everywhere. He doesn't turn left or right. He can see everything. So he can see us. He can see every move that we make up there, even if you think that you're by yourself and there's no church members up there. He sees you. How many times I have things crossing my mind, I'm going to say it, that I would like a tattoo in my body. I don't have a tattoo in my body. I have a lot of scratches from me falling out of my bike. But I don't have a tattoo. And I work with so many people in my world that are full of tattoos. The sleeves. They call it sleeves. They're so sleeves back. And I think to myself sometimes, I would like one. But it's a bad. And you know what? I was reading yesterday in the New Testament. I can't remember the verse or the book. But it says, don't forget. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you are the temple. You are Christ, God's holy temple. And if I did something before I know him, I don't know. He forgave you. But now that I know him, I can go that way. Because in my humanness, I'll be thinking, I'll be putting a bad example to this youngest one. Jose show up with a nice Pantera or whatever in my body, and they would think that it's okay. It's bad influence in my understanding. So what I did, I went to my cell phone and delete every single picture that I had that I was thinking that I would like in my body. When I read those words and says, don't forget that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if I had it right now, I would read it to you. But that brings me to the understanding that we are more important than you think. You are God's children. You are God's child. I am His child. And I can do those things. I a couple times I got chased with the bell by my father, screaming, running. And I'm thinking about, I don't want God to do that to me, because He told me the things to do and I'm failing Him. And I don't want to be a failure. I want to do the best I can. I want to be the good example I can to you and to the kids and to the people outside. Because God sees everything. Brother Huber says He can see you right now. And those words I will never forget. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is the shield, and to them they put their trust in Him. He is your shield. What you didn't do in your youngest days before you become to Christ, it's okay. There's more joyful things up there for us to enjoy. I enjoy my time with Brother Gary going on a bike like a little kid. I enjoy all the things. I don't need to go back. Isaiah, my last chapter here. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, and I will help thee, yea, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I don't need those things, because I got something better than that. How did He say? When you find this pearl, you sell everything to have it. You give up everything you have it. The old man stays behind. You bury it. You give up all the year just to bring you joy in a way that you thought that was joy, which was just temporary. Remember that when you know Christ, it's like a river that flows from you forever. That's what he told the lady. The water I will give you, you will not be thirsty anymore. And that's what she's talking about. Those happiness, the spirit that lives in you, it will be with you forever, like a river flowing. I thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here, and I pray that you got something out of this. Thank you so much.